Even when I pray myself, I generally get the first parts out of the way because I know once I get lost in Him, I won't come back to the financial contending in my personal life. So I do that first a lot of times. I'll swing the sword like we're going to do today at home, because if once I get where in the right hand, you know, once I hit His love, it's hard to do anything else. But I've learned long enough and I've walked with God long enough, you can be very close to Him like that. And the enemy will take advantage of you if you don't know how to appropriate. If you don't keep a real sharp eye on the finances, He'll fight them. He'll fight them all the time. I don't know that He'll ever stop fighting them until we just get a firm hold on it. So you have to put this in your arsenal. If you don't think that it's just going to happen. There's millions and millions of people out there that just think one day, because they're special to God, that He's going to ride in and do that. But the fact is, He already has. They have the responsibility of bringing forth them. And so we have to put this, and you have to be able to orchestrate this and blend it into the arsenal of what you do on a daily basis. If you want that, and of course, if you want to struggle financially all your life, well, you wouldn't be here. That's for certain. Not on Tuesday. So we have the right crowd. Amen. So we don't want to struggle. So you have to do that. And I want to share something with you. Mark 4. I tell you, I don't know that I've ever. God's so great now that the enemy could hit you with the hardest stuff you could ever imagine, and you can be over it in a day, 2 days at most. It's just amazing how good God can be. And I've not known Him this way like this before. When the enemy would hit, I tell you what, you take a while to recover, but God, when He pulls you up in the right hand, my God, you'll come out of there. It's like, is this normal? His healing power and His glory and His protection over your life. And He's just great. He's not going to promise you a world that's free of problems. Listen, you go after God and the enemy is vicious. That position suffers great violence. Violence. That's why I use that word violence, because the enemy's violent and he's vicious. He cares nothing. He doesn't even care for his own, much less you. But God, the higher you go, the less he can hit you hard. But God is so much greater than him. That's why he says, don't worry, I've overcome the world. Doesn't matter what he does to you. I overcome it. Amen? Praise God. So if you're going through something, your answer is to run to God. I've been asking Father lately, come to my runnings. Apprehend me in my runnings. Everyone runs. I mean, you don't run out to church or run, from salvation. You just run from that burning presence. You know, we go through something, we get discouraged, and we start backing out, and there's a running that takes place in us. You know, you're still in church. You're still faithful, all of that. You're still doing the things you do, but they're still in the heart. You know what I'm talking about by the running? Well, God can come into your runnings. And I'm learning now. I've learned so much that if I run too long, I'm just going to somewhere I don't want to be anyway. And the more you run, the harder it's going to be. So you just turn around in your runnings. Just turn. Doesn't matter what you feel like. You just turn around and run back into God. And He'll receive that. See? Amen? Hallelujah. Mark chapter 4, verse 30. This scripture right here is what launched me into my first phase of understanding kingdom prosperity. And it set up a blessing in my life that took me out of poverty, broke the spirit of poverty. From that point, it set up a new level of operation. Once the spirit of poverty is really broken, it can't do a whole lot anymore. Boy, it's not broken. It'll just entangle you up like crazy. I mean, all up into you. Mark 4:30 says, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like the grain of a mustard seed, which when it's sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. And when it is sown, it groweth up. Say, it groweth up. And becomes greater than the herbs, shooteth out great branches. So the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Now, this is not just talking about the word that we're talking about today, kingdom prosperity. This talks about the entire inheritance. In fact, this whole chapter, he spoke about the sower sowed the word and how the enemy would come out against it. Persecution, affliction, cares of this life, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things. And he talked about those that the word would not yield into that system, that the word came forth in their life. Some brought 30, some 60, some hundredfold. And what we've been after the whole time is the mystery of the hundredfold operation with God. And I can assure you that's not sow a seed and reap the hundredfold. It's a whole lot more than that. Trust me on that one. So he culminates this whole teaching here in this 30th verse. And I remember in the early days, before ministry, love God, do anything for him. You know how it is. You just lay your life down for him. But if it was spirit, strong man, I'm telling you, this guy was something else. Sometimes if your life's too easy for you, you're not going to learn very much. Sometimes your greatest enemies is what causes your promotion in the kingdom because they don't leave you and you grow against them, see, and you grow above them because you have to make a decision. You're going to get beat up all your life or you're going to grow up. Because if you lay down, they'll kick you hard and they'll keep kicking you. You can't afford to lay down. This guy just tracked me down everywhere I went. I mean, every job I went, he'd show up and, man, harass me. It was so supernatural. It was unreal. And, I mean, it just, you know, those days, I didn't know how to fight. I was young in the Lord. I loved him like everybody else, but I didn't know how to fight him. And, man, I'm telling you, I asked the Lord, I said, get him off of me, and I'd run. I'd run the cities, run from that circumstance. Ran to Memphis, ran to Tulsa, was about to run to Florida, about to run to Austin. All I did was run. It's like, well, if I'll just get to another city, I'll leave, you know, whatever this is, leave me alone. We wouldn't. It wouldn't leave me alone. And I remember when I was in Memphis, I decided that it appears that wherever I go, this guy's going to be there. Because he was trying to stop something very early. And he was assigned. And boy, you get an assignment like that, you'll know it, because he'll wreak havoc wherever you go. I mean, supernatural stuff, not in a good way, happens. And you're thinking, why me? What did I do? Well, it's your capacity, see. It's something in you that according to the enemy's plans, needs to be stopped. But God uses all that because that's part of God's growth process, is you have to overcome. I kept wanting, get me out of this, Lord. Get me out. He said, if I do, you're just going to be right back in the middle. He goes, what, I'm going to put you on an island? He goes, you're going to have to face him because what I've called you to do, there, you're going to face bigger guys than this. Because he didn't explain all that when I was going through it. He explained it afterwards, you know. So I remember I just took my stand, you know. I just decided, all right. And I had nothing much, very much to stand on. In those days, I didn't know anything like what we teach now. My God, I wish I'd have known that then. Jesus. And I mean, I just knew enough to go get some scripture notebook cards, and I wanted some of those flip cards, and there were note cards back then, and they didn't have internet back in that day. And, I mean, there was no framing your world that someone handed me with all these scriptures on it, you know. They said, here, with instructions on how this stuff works, this wasn't available to me. So I went to Walmart, and $5 wasn't available either. So I had to believe God. It took me 2 weeks to get the $5. So I go down there. I spied out the land already. 3 packs of those scripture notebook cards are $5. And I remember I'd go and I got the Strong Concordance. Back those days, you didn't have a computer with eSUR, but you could freely load the software down. You had the big Strong Concordance, you know, that big, and you just flip through. And I was just going through the whole Bible with all the scriptures, you know. And I'd write them down. I'd pencil them in. And I got the ones that would flip where you could flip it. And that's where I started. I started right there. And working for a guy, God, he was mean. Oh, my God. And I was out of the will of God when I started this, you know, because I wasn't even supposed to be in Memphis. So I was totally out of the will of God when I began my whatever I did. But when I made that stand, I remember I said, all right, I guess this is what I'll live with, you know, from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed. This is my life right here. Because I have no other way out of this. Because I know I go somewhere else, he's going to be there. I've already ran from him 5 times, and he's not leaving. God's not, you know, in my opinion, God wouldn't even listen to me when I'd complain. I mean, I'd go to him, I'd say, it doesn't do me good to complain because you're not going to listen anyway. That's what I'd say to him. I said, because every time I complain, I never get a response. So I'll just do this, you know. And that's what he was looking for anyway. His silence is golden sometimes because it creates a reaction he's looking for, see. When God's silent, he's looking for something. He's looking for the proper reaction in you, and complaining and murmuring and self-pity and all that. He's silent to get all that out of you. Because once you're done with all that, there's only so much of that you can do, you know, and his silence is still there. So when you're done, it's like, hey, I'm done with self-pity. He doesn't respond to that. Because those are all the mechanisms I used growing up. They work great on my parents, you know. Self-pity, anger, you know. You know, their love would respond to that, but his won't. Not when he's trying to get you to grow up, see. So, when I'm done, I kick the door, I do all kinds of stuff, man. I just walk through the room and have a tantrum, you know, and go up there and rah! But it didn't do anything, you know. So I had to come back down, and I don't know if none of you've ever done this before, but that was his way to get a lot of that stuff out of me and let me know very early in life, I don't respond to this. Not with you. He wanted to let me know. He goes, that's childlike behavior that you learn, but that's not the way I'm going to be your father. I'm not going to respond to that behavior. Just like you as a parent don't let your children, you don't respond to certain behaviors. You correct it. Well, with God, we think that'll work because it worked with our parents, but it doesn't, see. And so what works is his way. So I remember I just started confessing and speaking it 60, 70 times a day. Kept going. 1 month went by. 2 months went by. 3 months. I didn't know what I was doing. 4 months. By the 5th month, I'm back in Houston, you know. At least God got me resituated where I needed to be, you know. And, oh my God, I don't even want to go into how he got me back to Houston, but he got me back. Praise God. So I'm back here and, you know, I'm living with a friend and we're in about the 7th month at this now. I remember this very clearly. God, I'm doing it again, but hey, we're here, praise God. I didn't mean to jump off in all this, but you need to hear this because it'll help you in understanding how this stuff works. Because all this is a foundation you'll walk on for the rest of your life, and you're going to have to pay that price for it if you want it. And so I remember the seventh month, it was around Christmas time, and it was raining. It was like the day before Christmas Eve, and I was living with a friend of mine. And I didn't have any money. Of course, that was the story of my life, you know. It was Christmas time and no money. So I wanted to go money. At least I could go buy my dad a pair of socks, my mom, you know, spend $10 on each person, you know, that kind of thing. You know, that's the way it was. And it would have stayed that way, I can assure you, because that was the enemy's design. You know, he wanted to crush it down, see. And so I remember very clearly asking if I could, I don't know where I got this noble idea to rake his yard. I said, look, I'll rake your yard. How much you give me? He said, $50, man. I'm like, cool, I'll do it, you know. He had those big, big, big oak trees. And there was little bitty leaves. Not to mention when I started raking, it started raining. And I raked in the rain 55 bags of leaves that day. I was covered with soot, but I remember something happened that day I'll never forget because I had my scriptures with me. I always had them with me. I never left. Never, never, never. And I'd pull them out sometime during that day. And I remember there was a part that I got to in that day. It was a turning point in my life. So I remember right in the rain, I threw it down. And I stood right on top of it. And I said, one thing's for certain, this part of my life will change. Because I will not live this way, and however long it takes, this is going to change. That was a very turning point. God wasn't looking for the, 500,000th time I said the scripture before he decided to move, because he had already really moved. But what I did not know is that whole time of speaking that over and over again, if I knew what I knew now, I could add the imagery part of it that can put a supercharger on that thing that could have condensed that in 9 months stand down to maybe a couple of months, just like that, I didn't realize what he was doing is readjusting. And what I found is the more I spoke it, the more I actually believe what he said as averse to what I was experiencing out here. And what I was experiencing stopped talking as much. It had such a impact on me in the beginning, but then it started losing its impact. I wasn't receiving the fear of what was coming. The word was growing up. See, it said, it groweth up. And so he's talking about, now let's go to this scripture real quick. It said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? He's still talking about the operation of the word. He started talking about in Mark 4 here. He said, or with what comparison? It's like a grain of a mustard seed, which when it's sown in the earth, who's the earth? You are. How's it come in? Seed. It's what you do with that seed. It's less than all the seeds that be in the earth. That's real important. Do you know when you want to take a stronghold down, the Word of God in its seed form is less than the stronghold that's been very mature in your life. And I remember seeing a vision of this. Well, we talked about this stuff 10 years ago, But the Word keeps growing, So, I don't know why it's important. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't important. Because if we don't get a handle on this, especially where things are going in the economy and things, you don't know what's going to happen in the earth. You got to get to know God. You got to get to know that He is going to protect us. He's going to provide for us. He's going to bless us. In fact, I believe the church is going to come in such a day of multiplication as the earth is receiving all of this. God's people are in the land of Goshen, multiplying and prospering. Amen. God can do that. Amen. I'm not afraid of what I'm hearing. We're not afraid of this. We want to be the head, though, because we want to be the answer and the solution. And the kingdom of God does cost. There's a lot of finances are a major thing. God talked about them a lot. So I saw this vision. In this vision, I saw this seed drop down. There was these five full-blown oak trees. These are big ones. These guys, those are these massive ones, 100-year oak trees, this full, strong. This little bit of seed dropped down in the middle of them. And I remember when that seed dropped down, it took root and started to grow up, and it became a little sapling like that. Here's what you need to understand about seeds. Seeds do not bear fruit. Not until they get to tree form. Immature trees don't bear the fruit of what you're looking for. The process of interacting with the Word of God is causing that seed to become a tree within you. All of it's going to take within you first, and then it's going to release outward. See, so the kingdom's within. It releases inward. It grows up, and then it releases. And I saw as it began to grow up these oak trees. Literally took their branches and would swat down. And it was incredible. It's like that little tree was suffering violence, crazy stuff. Because they were there, and these oak trees had names on them. Insecurity, fear. I remember all the names. One of them was rejection, insecurity, fear. Intimidation and poverty, and it was our poverty mindset. All these were strongholds that were already existing, see, in me at the time. And that word, though it was least of all things, eventually it grew up to a level. When the Lord saw it come to a level that he was looking for, I saw him take an axe and cut down those trees because he had replaced them with another image. See? What happens when you get in the anointing sometime or how grace works, that God will come and blow all that dead fruit off those trees and he released to you grace. And you think, oh, I've changed forever. But if you don't allow him to remove all that stuff, they'll re-sow their fruit. You'll be right back in the same circumstance again. That's why living and occupying and interacting with the Word is a way of life. It's not a one-time thing. Well, I'll just do this. And that's not the way God designed it. We have to live this. This is more important, or His Word, but this is His Word, is more important than anything else. That's how we grow. Amen? So it groweth up, and then it shot out its branches. And then the birds there come lodge. Your life will shoot out such branches that other people will come and lodge under the fruit of what's going on in your life. See? So your victory and breakthrough goes beyond you. It's more than you. But now God's put supercharge on the high praise of God, the two-edged sword. He's taught us how to bring the imagery of the Word and live in the right hand of the Father. And all this empowers the Word at such another level that as we do this, we have such authority in dealing with these things. Amen? We got to stay on it, though. You got to stay on it. And you can't just let it slide. And don't just think it'll just happen. Get that out of your mentality. The reason is that he that cometh to God must first believe that he is. He's already done it. That's the thing we got to know. He has done it. He's waiting for the belief system to line up with what he's done. And that's what we're here doing. We deal with the devil outwardly. We deal with the interior belief system. We do all that through interaction of the Word. We speak to our enemies. Today we'll do that. We also speak to ourselves because we're having to deal with the belief mechanism within us. It's a twofold war. One's inwardly, one's outward. You do both of those, and once that happens, God begins to orchestrate the blessing on your life. Then he releases. Sometimes it's business or a promotion. You know, he'll release you into something, and then the blessing starts showing up. Boy, when I broke in, it was 2 months after that thing, and I've told this before, 2 months after of standing in that rain that day, God broke the spirit of poverty. Oh, my God, he broke it. I went from nothing, but he broke it within me first, see, and then it just started rolling, and, you know, and took me from making, you know, $300 in a week to $1,500 a week in 1 week. With the same job. That was a lot of money back then. It's a lot of money now. That was a lot of money. I mean, but the exhilaration of actually going to be able to buy my first car, you know. Some people take that for granted because that's easy. But other people that have struggled in the depth of that's just something you can't put a description on when you see God do that. But God's just working today. That's just one level, see. Because the Word doesn't stop there. It wants to go higher now, to be a blessing to others, to be a blessing. And we're contending for another level now. Have been for a while. We're going to stay on until that thing breaks, and God's going to allow us to come and feed. Like David, boy, he come out of Ziklag. He fed a whole city. A big piece of meat and a flag on a wine. He fed the whole city. He ended up building that temple and come up out of a little shepherd boy. God brought him up through stages, and he come up and provided modern day $48 billion in gold. His mighty men, all the people around him, they were all blessed too, man. It just transformed the world. Solomon was the fruit of his loins, and he came up, and they harvested the entire world before his fall. Kings and queens. There was no end to what was going on. And there's no end to what God will birth in us. We're going to stay with it and together, you know, and we're going to see that. And it's not just about finances. It's about his glory, the right hand demonstration to see his kingdom expressed in us. Listen, the long gone are the days we express his kingdom with power and we're dried up financially and become beggars. We're not going to be like that. The full kingly anointing and the full priestly anointing will be functioning and flowing together. Amen? That's why it's important. Study the revivals. You know what's the number one thing that's taken most of them out? Money. Money. Because the revival is... It requires such a need because it's rolling so fast. They don't know how to keep up with it, and they start And you get into, if they don't beg, then they merchandise it. One way or another, they're going into that realm, and it turns people off like crazy. We got to have kings running right alongside, true ones that won't break rank. Amen. Birth them from right within. They're better. Amen. Just birth them up within. But I'm telling you, what God has in here is going to explode. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.